You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand's first annual hui on countering terrorism and extremism was held in Christchurch on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. The hui involved multiple speakers, including representatives from the Islamic Women's Council, who voiced concern over online hate towards minorities. I spoke with the Islamic Women's Council's Anjul Rahman about the role of media in extremism and how government and technology companies should regulate this. I began by asking her about the key issues and demands her group outlined at the anti-terrorism hui.
I think in terms of the Islamic Women's Council session, the key factor was trying to get public servants to understand the ways that discrimination plays out for women that are trying to access services or having to deal with issues. And so we were asking that they try and understand what the impact is and then look at changing the way that they deliver services to ensure that, you know, that those services are accessible to everyone.
Do you think that at the moment enough is being done to deliver these services and to help Islamic women?
I think it's not just Muslim women. I think there are a range of people who are facing discrimination, are facing exclusion, and some of the stories that were shared yesterday morning were really disappointing. For example, a woman that wears a full face covering or niqab was told that she would get the keys to her state house if she took off her face covering. Like, the guy stood there and says, "You take that off and I'll give you the keys." And for this woman who was a single mum and in desperate need of housing, you know, that was awful. And she refused and, you know, had to struggle with trying to find space with friends and family until she could find something suitable. So those kinds of experiences are just not acceptable. And I think there's a lot of work to do in terms of anti-discrimination, training and representation and diversity within public service.
So what then would you like to see the government do to counter this and to reduce hate against minorities?
Well, just what I said there was that around training of public service staff, making sure they understand what the impact is and what it feels like, seeing more diversity and representation, not just at the ground level but in leadership, so that we can have systems and processes and service delivery that reflects what the community needs.
So is there also, do you think, a need for better education of the general population around culture and around how to treat people properly?
Oh, absolutely. And that was the piece that I did on, particularly around violent extremism online. And my presentation was quite graphic, but the reason I did that is I think that people don't understand just how awful some of this stuff is and how much of an impact it has, and then the link between what happens online and how it translates to violence offline. So, yes, people do need to understand that and do need work within wider communities to bring people together, because, you know, this affects so many people. And if we want a society where people are safe, then we need to be working on these grassroots issues of bringing communities together.
Specifically, how then do you think that the internet and social media impact the attitudes of hate towards minorities?
Well, one of the ways is through the use of algorithms, so that when you like or click something, the things that are recommended to you have been known to cause people to move into more radical and extreme views. The type of misinformation and disinformation, deliberate campaigns designed to provide false information, are also impacting people. And that ability to create your bubble then, because, for example, if you do a Google search, it won't give you the wide range of information. It will only give you information that they think you'll click on. So we do need audits of algorithms and the way that works. We also need to think about how we regulate the online space and to me, we need independent statutory authority to do that. I wouldn't trust government. I think we need to have statutorily independent bodies to think about these issues and to action them. And also, again, use the education piece and the ability to speak back to some of this material.
So if then the algorithms and everything, it allows discourse between extremist views around the world, do you think that this is something that should just be undertaken by New Zealand, or is it something that social media companies and governments internationally should be trying to resolve?
Yes, New Zealand on its own, you know, would have little impact, and that's why, you know, my involvement with the Christchurch Call, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the advisory network there, these kind of multi-stakeholder international efforts are really important. And I think to a large extent, many of the major companies recognise the issue, that public pressure from governments and communities for them to act is important. But also governments have not always been exemplary. We've seen them ban social media companies. We've seen them trying to access information that should be private, and so on. So that's where having civil society organisations is really important, to ensure that our human rights are upheld, to ensure that whatever measures are put in place help and not harm.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.